Welcome to the PC Speaking Podcast series, Through the Bible in a Year, where we come together for daily reading and reflection as we journey through the scriptures. Let's dive into today's episode with Pastor Chris Miller. January, faithful in the storm.
We're the end, the empty spaces. Hello and welcome to day number 108 of our Through the Bible in a Year reading program. Today we're going to be reading in the Old Testament from Joshua chapters 11 and 12. In the New Testament, we will be reading Luke chapter 14. As a bit of an overview to get us started today, Joshua 11 details a significant battle against a coalition of northern kings led by Jabin, king of Hazor. Despite facing an overwhelming army with horses and chariots, Israel achieves victory by following God's command. Joshua 12 summarizes conquests, listing the kings defeated by Moses on the east side of the Jordan and those defeated by Joshua on the west. And then over into the New Testament in Luke 14 today, we're reading about Jesus teaching about the cost of discipleship, the nature of God's kingdom, and proper attitudes in the kingdom. Jesus dines at the house of a Pharisee where he heals a man on the Sabbath and teaches humility and generosity, particularly in the context of hosting feasts. And he emphasizes inviting those who cannot repay, and he reflects God's grace in doing so. Well, let's go to our reading. We'll start in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 11, verse 1 says, when Jabin, king of Hazor, heard of it, he sent Jobab, king of Madon, to the king of Shimron, to the king of Akshaph, and to the kings who were on the north in the hill country, in the Arabah and the Shinaroth, in the lowland and in the heights of Dor on the west, to the Canaanite on the east and on the west, the Amorite, the Hittite, the Perizzite, the Jebusite in the hill country, and the Hivite under Hermon in the land of Mizpah. They went out, they and all their armies with them, many people, even as the sand that is on the seashore in multitude, with very many horses and chariots. All these met together, and they came and encamped together at the waters of Merom to fight with Israel. The Lord said to Joshua, don't be afraid because of them, for tomorrow at this time I will deliver them up all slain before Israel. You shall hamstring their horses and burn their chariots with fire. So Joshua came suddenly with all the warriors against them by the waters of Merom and attacked them. The Lord delivered them into the hand of Israel, and they struck them and chased them to great Sidon and Mizrephoth and Maim, and to the valley of Mizpah eastward. They struck them until they left no one remaining. Joshua did to them as the Lord told him. He hamstrung their horses and burnt their chariots with fire. Joshua turned back at that time and took Hazor and struck its king with a sword, for Hazor used to be the head of all those kingdoms. They struck all the souls who were in it with the edge of the sword, utterly destroying them. There was no one left who breathed. He burnt Hazor with fire. Joshua captured all the cities of those kings with their kings, and he struck them with the edge of the sword and utterly destroyed them, as Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded. But as for the cities that stood on their mounds, Israel burnt none of them except Hazor only. Joshua burnt that. The children of Israel took all the plunder of these cities with the livestock as plunder for themselves. But every man they struck with the edge of the sword until they had destroyed them. They didn't leave any who breathed. As the Lord commanded Moses, his servant, so Moses commanded Joshua. Joshua did so. He left nothing undone for all that the Lord commanded Moses. So Joshua captured all that land, the hill country, all the south, all the land of Goshen, the lowland, the Arabah, the hill country of Israel, the lowland of the same, from Mount Halak that goes up to Seir, even to Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon under Mount Hermon. He took all their kings, struck them, and put them to death. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel except the Hivites, the inhabitants of Gibeon. They took all in battle, for it was of the Lord to harden their hearts to come against Israel in battle, that he might utterly destroy them, that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them, as the Lord commanded Moses. Joshua came at that time and cut off Anakim from the hill country, from Hebron, from Debir, from Anab, from all the hill country of Judah, and from all the hill country of Israel. Joshua utterly destroyed them with their cities. There were none of the Anakim left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod did some remain.
So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord spoke to Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance to Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. Then the land had rest from war. Joshua chapter 12. Now these are the kings of the land whom the children of Israel struck and possessed their land beyond the Jordan towards the sunrise from the valley of the Arnon to Mount Hermon and all the Arabah eastward. Sihon, king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon and ruled from Aroer, which is on the edge of the valley of Arnon, and the middle of the valley and half Gilead, even the river Jabbok, the border of the children of Ammon and the Arabah to the sea of Shinaroth, eastward and to the sea of the Arabah, even the salt sea eastward, the way to Beth Jeshimoth, and on the south under the slopes of Pisgah, and the border of King Og, king of Bashan, and the remnant of Rephaim, who lived at Ashtaroth and at Edrei, and ruled in Mount Hermon and at Selekah, and in all Bashan, to the border of the Gershurites and the Maacathites, and half Gilead, the border of Sihon, king of Heshbon. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the children of Israel struck them. Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave it for a possession to the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half-tribe of Manasseh. These are the kings of the land whom Joshua and the children of Israel struck beyond the Jordan westward from Baal Gad in the valley of Lebanon, even to Mount Halak that goes up to Seir. Joshua gave it to the tribes of Israel for a possession according to their divisions in the hill country and in the lowland and in the Arabah and in the slopes and in the wilderness and in the south, the Hittite, the Amorite, and the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, the king of Jericho, one, the king of Ai, which is beside Bethel, one, the king of Jerusalem, one, the king of Hebron, one, the king of Jarmuth, one, the king of Lachish, one, the king of Eglon, one, the king of Gezer, one, the king of Deber, one, the king of Gedor, one, the king of Hormah, one, the king of Arad, one, the king of Libna, one, the king of Adullam, one, the king of Mekedah, one, the king of Bethel, one, the king of Tupah, one, the king of Hefer, one, the king of Ephak, one, the king of Lasharon, one, the king of Madon, one, the king of Hazor, one, the king of Shimron, Meron, one, the king of Akshaph, one, the king of Tanakh, one, the king of Megiddo, one, the king of Kadesh, one, the king of Jokneam in Carmel, one, the king of Dor in the height of Dor, one, the king of Goim in Gilgal, one, the king of Tisra, one, all the kings, 31. Over to the New Testament, Luke chapter 14. When he went into the house of one of the rulers of the Pharisees on a Sabbath to eat bread, they were watching him. Behold, a certain man who had dropsy was in front of him. Jesus answering spoke to the lawyers and Pharisees, saying, "Is it lawful to eat on the Sabbath?" But they went silent. He took him and healed him and let him go. He answered them, "Which of you, if your son or an ox fell into a well, wouldn't immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day?" They couldn't answer him regarding these things. He spoke a parable to those who were invited, when he noticed how they chose the best seats, and said to them, "When you are invited by anyone to a wedding feast, don't sit in the best seat. Perhaps someone more honorable than you might be invited by him. And he who invited both of you would come to tell you, 'Make room for this person.' Then you would begin with shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when he who invited you comes, he may tell you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted." He also said to the one who had invited him, "When you make a dinner or a supper, don't call your friends, nor your brothers, nor your kinsmen, nor rich neighbors, or perhaps they might also return the favor and pay you back. But when you make a feast, ask the poor, the maimed, the lame, or the blind, and you will be blessed, because they don't have the resources to repay you. For you will be repaid in the resurrection of the righteous." When one of those who sat at the table with him heard these things, he said to him, "Blessed is he who will feast in God's kingdom." But he said to him, "A certain man made a great supper, and he invited many people. And he sent out a servant at supper time to tell those who were invited, 'Come, for everything is ready now.' They all as one began to make excuses. The first one said, 'I have bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please have me excused.' Another said, 'I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I must go to try them out. Please have me excused.' Another said, 'I have married a wife, and therefore I can't come.' That servant came and told his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to the servant, "Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in the poor, maimed, blind, and lame." The servant said, "Lord, it is done as you commanded, and there is still room." The Lord said to the servant, "Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you that none of those men who were invited will taste of my supper, for many are called, but few are chosen." Now great multitudes were going with him. He turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and doesn't disregard his own father, mother, wife, children, brothers, and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he can't be my disciple. Whoever doesn't bear his own cross and come after me can't be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, doesn't first sit down and count the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Or perhaps, when he has laid a foundation and isn't able to finish, everyone who sees begins to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or that king, as he goes to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends an envoy and asks for conditions of peace. So therefore, whoever of you doesn't renounce all that he has, he can't be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt becomes flat and tasteless, with what do you season it? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Well, that's our reading for today. Let's finish up with a few thoughts and meditations for today. Reflect on the victories described in Joshua chapters 11 and 12. And how does this narrative reinforce the concept of trusting in God's promises and power, even when facing formidable challenges? Jesus, teaching at the Pharisee's house, challenged social norms and expectations of the day. How do his lessons on humility and generosity and the Sabbath prompt you to examine your own practices and attitudes? Jesus's discourse on the cost of discipleship is both challenging and clarifying. How does understanding the commitment required to follow Jesus affect your thoughts on following him? And to take your study a little further today, if you'd like to do so, investigate the parables in Luke 14, focusing on their meanings, implications for the original audience, and application for contemporary believers. Well, I'm grateful that you have taken the time to listen in today, and I look forward to speaking with you again tomorrow.
Thank you for joining us today on the PC Speaking Podcast. Tune in tomorrow for another episode of Through the Bible in a Year. If you have found this helpful, please follow the podcast and share it with a friend. It is our hope and prayer that every episode helps enrich your relationship with God and His Word. Singing.